If you have a copy of God's Word, we're going to continue our book, our study in the book of Genesis. And we have one copy. Does anybody need a Bible? I have one here. If anybody need a Bible, we can go grab one for you if you need one. But if you have a copy of God's Word, let's join us. Join me in Genesis chapter 12. This is our first week in Genesis 12. This has been a great study through the book of Genesis. But now we have arrived to chapter 12 in Genesis. And so we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read from verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and from your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Verse 5, and Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possession that they had to go, that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go into the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, and Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going towards Negev. Some people say Negev. Let me pray for us and let us see what God is revealing to us in his word in these verses here today. Our Father God in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy for bringing us back another week. Lord, you are good. You are wonderful. And we praise your name here this morning. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord, let us see, Lord, your glory here in our word here today. God, your servant, let me preach your word faithfully, Lord. Let me exegete your word, Lord, properly, that, Lord, your people may be encouraged and myself, Lord, be encouraged as well. So help us in your word, that your Bible, Lord, your word give life. It brings dead people to life. So I pray that, Lord, your word, Lord, do a work in us today. So help us, Lord, through your word. And let me, Lord, hide behind the cross in my weaknesses. And let me trust you, Lord. And let me, Lord, allow you, Lord, to go before me at this time. And to give your people, Lord, what you want them to have here this morning. In Christ, let me pray. Amen. Now we have made it to Genesis chapter 12. If you look up here, we have a Bible. We have the book of Genesis start off in the Bible. We learn in Genesis chapter 1 how God created all things in chapter 1. And chapter 2, we see that God, how he created man. In chapter 3, we saw sin coming to this world. God created man for his glory. Man has sinned against God. But God had another plan. And this plan right here was a plan that God already had from before the foundation of the world. It's this redemptive plan that God was going to come and die for his people, that he is going to be incarnated into flesh. He was going to come and die for a people. He was going to do that because they sinned against him. And all throughout history, we've been waiting on the Messiah to come. We heard about how people have sinned against God. A flood came. That God saved one family and preserved one family. And after God preserved one family, then we see that family grew. And the world now became populated again. Then mankind turned their back against God again. They built the Tower of Babel. And they built this tower to go against God again, to rise themselves up before God. So you guys see the consistent nature of man. When man get so much freedom, man use their freedom against God. Every single time we see it, man using freedom against God. And so we saw the Tower of Babel, that man has used the freedom again. Sin now is flourishing in the world again. Even Abram, we heard about, is the family of Terah from the lineage of Shem. They over in Ur of the land of the Chaldean, they worshiping pagan gods. But now we learn here how God is about to bring this family out. He's going to bring this family out, and he's going to give his family a promise. And this promise that God's going to give this family, there's going to be a promise that gives us the hope for us to know God forevermore. This promise right here is going to seem like it's for Abraham, but it's going to be a promise that all the nations shall be blessed. And who are all the nations? All the people of the world that are in Christ will be blessed. So how are we going to do it here today? Today I'm going to name this message, if I can name it, the unilateral covenant. The unilateral covenant. We're going to do it in 2 points today. The unilateral covenant presented. And point number 2 is going to be unilateral covenant confirmed. And you guys might be thinking like, man, what in the world is a unilateral covenant? I pray as we finish up this message today, I pray that's something you hold on to. I hope this unilateral covenant called you guys to have, myself, to have a life of gratitude and thankfulness for what God has done. So to jump in point number 1, the unilateral covenant presented. We see here in chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord said to Abram. The last time we saw the Lord speaking in Genesis was at the Tower of Babel. When the Lord judged the world for the arrogance. The last time we heard him, after that, we saw in all this genealogy. The sons of Shem. The sons of Arpachshad. The son of Terah. We hear all of these names. But before we heard those names, we heard God come down to judge the world when they built the tower. That's the last time we heard God speak. But now we see the Lord speak differently. When he came down to speak at the Tower of Babel, he came down to judge the world. But now we see God is speaking in a time of grace. It should be familiar to you. The last time we heard God came down and said, I will do something. I will give you this. The last time we heard God coming down doing it for mankind was in Noah's life. In Noah chapter 9, verse 1 through 3. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the field of the earth, upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creepeth on the ground, and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you green plants, I give you everything. But we can go even further in Genesis 6. We see this nature of God will do this. He will do this for Noah. God is the one doing this for Noah. But today's text is very similar. God does the same thing here. I will do this after mankind has sinned at the Tower of Babel. So God speaks to Abram. Abram at this time believed and pagan gods and earth. But you notice that? Even though Abram believed in pagan gods, that didn't stop God from calling him to himself. God called Abram from death to life. Abram was dead in his sin and his trespasses. He wasn't seeking after God. He was enjoying his sins in the world. Amen. And let me make it plain. Even in Abram's day, Abram wouldn't say that he was enjoying his sin. Abram wouldn't say that he's enjoying his sin. A lot of times, for even unbelievers, they don't think about it in the way of the biblical terms. For them, they are enjoying a life of freedom, a life of doing whatever they want to do. And Abram was enjoying a life doing whatever he wanted to do. He enjoyed the gods of the earth. But we know it as Christians that he was enjoying his sin. Many people say that's crazy that Abram Abram was worshiping pagan gods. Pagan gods are no different from idols today. And we have different idols in our own lives, whatever those idols may be. That's no different from what Abram did. But God still, in his grace and his mercy, God called him. This calling was an act of grace because it was people all around the world. Abram's family wasn't the only family in the world. It was other families all over the world at this particular time. But God, in his mercy, he called Abram. You guys see the beauty of that? He called Abram. And Abram was given this rare encounter with the Lord. Everybody didn't get this encounter with the Lord. Everybody else is enjoying their gods in the world. Abram is enjoying his God, but God still meets him where he's at.
Amen.
The Lord approached Abram because the Lord is a friend to sinners. Not just any sinners, but only the sinners that he has come down, that the Father has given to him, the Son. Just like many of us may have seen a lot of good things that happened in our lives when we were young. We might have seen a lot of good things. A lot of unbelievers have seen a lot of good things in life. We have seen God, how the sun goes up and go down. We have seen a lot of good things in life when we was apart from Christ. God still give general grace. Even for unbelievers to be able to see that there's a God. God is all around. He has shown us himself and all throughout creation. But when we was young, we still didn't choose him. We knew that it was a God. We knew that something created something in this world. We knew all these things created by something. But we didn't turn to something. We didn't turn to God. Even in the day of Abram, they have seen the miraculous work of God. They have heard about the miraculous work of God, but they still didn't turn to God. But family, only when the Lord comes down to us and be our God, that is when we are truly in relationship with the Lord. When he comes down to us. Even though God has planted his goodness all throughout creation, apart from Christ, our eyes cannot see it. But only when he comes down to us by his Spirit and open our eyes, and that's when we're able to see the goodness of the Lord. And that's what happened to Abram. The Lord came down to him. And in a time that when Abraham wasn't coming to the Lord or even seeking after the Lord come down to him just like the Lord had came down to us. And when he come down to us, like he came with Abraham, he just didn't come down to us. He came full of grace. He came to give us abundance of grace. And he does that with Abram in his life. He comes to give Abram abundance of grace. He gives Abram this command. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. This seems like conditional, doesn't it? Go from here. With being this command, is this a conditional command? You go here, then I'm going to give you this. That's not what this text is saying. But it's not a command for him to do something to get something. Look at the test again. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. This command right here is not for him to be able to get a blessing by going from there. By doing this, he's going to get a blessing. He didn't have to do anything to receive this blessing. There was a blessing that was going to come to him because God was a good God. When God promises us blessing, we don't have to do anything to receive them. If the covenant is unilateral. What I mean by this is that this unilateral covenant gets at something that's done by one person. So a unilateral covenant is an agreement done by one person. And to be in a covenant, it has to be two or three people or more. But this covenant right here is a unilateral covenant. This is something that one party has done in this covenant that meets. That meets the grounds of the covenant. So in the unilateral covenant, one party gives all the blessings to the other party in the agreement. An agreement by one party to do something for a receiving party without an obligation to serve other receiving party. Again, an agreement by one party to do something for a receiving party or without the obligation of a receiving party. So in our test here we see in Genesis 12 verse 1, the Lord gives the blessings to Abram. It's a free gift for Abram. Go from your country and your kindred and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. Abram doesn't have to do anything to get this free gift. God commanded Abram to leave his country so he can see the gift. The Lord is about to show Abram the free gift. This reminds me right here of a parent telling a kid to come over here. Telling the kid to come over here. Come over here. So you can see what I have bought you. The gift was already bought from by the parent. But the parent said, come over here so you can see what I already have done. What I already have for you, come see it. It's already purchased. The blessing is already there, but he asking the kid to come see here. Come look at the back of the trunk and see what I have just bought you. Come look. The land that Abram is about to get is the land that already belonged to the Lord. So the Lord can freely give it to him. This wasn't as, come over here, then you'll be able to get the land. The land is already promised to him. But not only the Lord is going to give him a land here, but he's going to show him. We see right here in verse 2. And I will make you a great nation. The land that the Lord has given him will be a great nation. It will have a lot of people in this nation. A great number of people in this nation, which is also a great leader in this nation. If you notice the order of these blessings, you see the land that is showed. There's going to be a great nation. It's a reason why he's going from here. He didn't start off with a great nation first. To have a nation, you got to have a land. The second thing to have a great nation, you got to have a people. And another thing you got to have in a great nation, you got to have a king. So God gives the land first, then the people in his kingdom. Then the third thing we see God gives him is what? And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. The Lord is going to give him many more blessings while he is in this land that God has given him. Now God has given him this great nation that all the things that he's going to need in his land to survive, he's going to give that to him as well. This I will give to him as well as have plenty. I test plenty of food and livestock. So they're going to be sustained. But also follow along with this. This is all God giving. It doesn't say Abraham have to do anything to receive any of this. The fourth thing you see God give him is stability. I will bless those who bless you. In a kingdom, you have a king, you have a people, you're going to need stability. God is going to bless you with stability. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonor you, I will curse. Even for those that bless Abram, they will also get blessings. But for those that dishonor Abram will be cursed. Abram has the protection around him. This reminds me of the story of Laban. Laban and his daughters, Rachel and Leah. And Jacob went to marry one of the daughters. And Laban said, no, you can't get this particular daughter. Rachel, you have to get Leah first. Then you have to get Rachel. And while Jacob stayed there, and Laban kept getting over on him over and over, and by Jacob staying there, Laban was still blessed. Laban had so many livestock. The land flourished. Everything was a blessing to him because Jacob was there. The same nature here. The promise that gave Abram, this God gave Abram this promise. That God's going to bless Abram without Abram having to do anything. And even for those that curse Abram, God is going to curse them. For those that bless Abram, God is going to bless them. God brings stability. That no one can come against this kingdom that God has set up for Abram, is it? This is going to be a kingdom with stability. A kingdom that no one can come against. Number 5, we see the The fifth thing God gives him, the Lord will bless others by the nation, of what I just mentioned. And you, all the families of the earth, shall be blessed. The blessing that is given to Abram will also be a blessing to the world. That the world will benefit from this gift that's given to Abram. Abram will have all these things given to him. But my question for us here to think about this, did Abram ever receive it? Did Abram get any of this stuff? If God has said he's going to give Abram these things, he doesn't have to work for them, did Abram receive it in his life? Did Abram ever take over Israel, the Canaanite? Did he drive them out? Family, when Abram died, the Canaanites were still living in the land. When Abram died, the Hittites that Jerry read earlier were still in the land. God promised Abram that he's going to get the land, but it seemed like the Canaanites still owned the land when he actually died. Also, God said it's going to be a great nation. When Abram died with only having a few sons and spouses and the servants. So Abram didn't see a great nation, did he? If God has promised him in his covenant, I'm going to give you this, but Abram didn't even see a great nation. Abram's name wasn't so great around the world. Abram was sent out from Egypt with many livestock, but we know Egypt will be defeated by Syria later. So it said if there anybody come against Abraham, whoever blessed Abraham will bless them. Egypt blessed Abraham, but Assyria still took over Egypt. So family, how do we understand the unilateral covenant? If God had promised Abram this, did he receive it? Well, let me help us to understand this. Family, God told Isaac the same thing. Isaac is the son of Abram. Listen to this in Genesis 26, verse 2 through 5. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt, the well and the land which I shall tell you. This is Isaac. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands. And I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham, your father. I swore this oath to Abraham. I'm going to swear to you, Isaac. I will multiply your offsprings as the stars of the heaven and will give to your offspring all the lands. And your offspring, all the nation of the earth, shall be blessed. The same thing we just read about Abraham. All the earth shall be blessed because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. God has given Isaac the same covenant as well. But when Isaac died, the Canaanites were still in the land. The Hittites were still in the land. How do we understand this? So Isaac was told the same blessing like Abram was told. But I thought the actual unilateral covenant for Abram, but God has given it to Isaac. Let's go further with this. What about Isaac's son? What was Isaac's son's name?
Jacob.
What about Jacob here? Listen to this about Jacob. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, it's Jacob. The Lord told him to Jacob, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. Same stuff, is it? It's going to spread the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north, to the south. And you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth, family of the earth. Genesis 28:13-14. Now Jacob was told the same unilateral unconditional covenant as well. That you're going to get this, Jacob. And we know that Abram, Isaac, and Jacob didn't receive this covenant. They received that was supposed to be given to them. So to understand this, we must see this covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The unilateral covenant, we have to see this covenant as dichotomous in nature. The covenant is for the offspring of Abraham, which will be the same as Abraham getting his blessing. So Abraham might not have seen the blessing in his day, but his offspring inherited the blessing on the earth. How do we know this? Joshua defeated the Canaanites. How David defeated the Philistine by him killing Goliath. Solomon in his day, the unified kingdom with David, how they pushed everybody out of the land of Israel. One person says this, the Abrahamic covenant promised three basic things, a land, a king, and a people. Interestingly, a regional dominion, a king, and a people are three major elements that constitute a kingdom. Thus, in the essence, in the Abrahamic covenant, God vowed to establish a kingdom through the seed of Abraham. Family, the seed of Abraham is the seed of the woman. So an earthly Abrahamic covenant was seen through Abraham's physical line when Joshua took over the land. Joshua received the land. Israel outgrew the land. But it's greater than that. Because the scriptures tell us that Abraham looked forward to the land, that Abraham saw this inherited land in a spiritual way in Hebrews. Jesus is the true offspring of Abraham. We know this from Galatians. Galatians 3:16, now the promises were made to Abraham. But hold on. The promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say offsprings, like plural, referring to many, but referring to one, and to one offspring, is which is Christ. Who is the true offspring? The true promise it is? It's the Christ.
Amen.
So Jesus is the one that gets the blessings. He gives us a spiritual kingdom. He gives us a spiritual heaven. He is the spiritual king. He gives us a spiritual land. Jesus is the true fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. David being king pointed to Jesus being the true king. Israel land pointed to heaven, that God is going to bring the new heavens down to earth. It's going to be that new land that God prepares for us. And the Old Testament is already showing us that it's a new people, it's a new king, it's a new land that's coming. Israel populating the land pointed to the Christian populating heaven. This covenant is a promise to Christ. And by us being in Christ, we get this promise as well. In the same way how God has given Abraham this covenant and it passed down through his son and to his son, it passes down family. For us being in Christ, we get the same covenant that's in Christ. It tells us in Galatians 3:29, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Listen to this again. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Family, we are heirs according to the promise if we're in Christ. We get all those things in Christ if we're truly in Christ. The covenant is for Jesus, and we benefit from it because he is the true offspring. And by him being the true offspring, we abide in him. Family, we get all the things that are in Christ.
Amen.
So this unilateral covenant right here is that Christ is the one that received this covenant. So much stuff has happened all over the world with dispensationalism. So many people have fought over the land. They're still fighting over Israel. That Israel is going to be this land, this great land again one day. I would say that Israel and the purpose of the Old Testament Israel was to bring about the Messiah and point to a spiritual land and a spiritual people. And the people that are Jewish by descent, and people that are Gentiles, they can come into a kingdom way better than the earthly land of Israel, where so much blood has been shed. Because the new land that God prepared for us, it will be no more bloodshed. It will never be bloodshed in this land. It will never be pain in this land. It will never be suffering in this land. He's going to bring in a new land that's better than this earthly land. Family, this earthly land is not our home, but the land that God goes to prepare for us is our home. So we got to understand about this unilateral covenant that God has given us this blessing. He have done it. We didn't have to do anything to receive it. Abraham didn't have to do anything to receive it. But how do we know if we receive it? How do we know if Abraham received it? By their life. Moves to the second point. The unilateral covenant confirmed. I just mentioned to you guys test by Abraham. When I said that all the nations in verse, that was Genesis 26, verse 2, verse 5. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. It sounds like Abraham did this, this is why God gave him the blessing. That's not what the text is saying. By Abraham's obedience, right? It's a proclamation of his faith. Abraham wasn't saved by his works. Abraham's works was actually a proclamation of his faith. We're not saved by our works. We've been saved by Christ alone. So those that are recipients of this covenant that is given to them by Christ, there'll be ones that are saved by faith. And they'll live a life of faith. How do we know this? Look in verse 4 in our text. Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Abraham obeyed the Lord. This wasn't just a simple obedience. But this was an obedience to leave everything behind, to leave his pagan gods behind, to follow after him. He left everything behind to follow after Jesus. How do you know if you have a covenant, you are in this covenant? Your life will show that you are in the covenant. This wasn't just a simple obedience. This wasn't just said, I believe in Jesus died on the cross for my sins and continue living the same way. But when a person said they believe in Jesus died on the cross for their sins, they're willing to leave everything else behind to follow him. Abram did. He left things behind to follow the Lord. Abraham was looking forward to a spiritual blessing in Christ. Listen to what the Hebrews writer has written. There's a couple of verses from Hebrews 11 I want to read to us. Starting in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into a place that was to receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city that has foundation, whose designer and the builder is God. And by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of the heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of the sands of the seashore. These all die in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus makes it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be their called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his own son, only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able to even raise up for him the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. But also we see the words of Apostle Paul in Romans 4. Listen to Romans 4. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness. We know the covenant given to Abraham will be fulfilled in Christ. And Abraham was looking forward to Christ to fulfill it. Again, that's based upon this text. How many people are fighting over Israel today? It's that Abraham was looking forward to a heavenly land. He wasn't looking forward to the land of the Canaanites. The land of the camp of the Canaanites was temporary. It pointed to a better hope. Just like the Jewish people. The Old Testament Jewish people pointed to a greater people. It was a greater people, and some of those greater people are already within Israel. David, Abram, and everyone that was in Israel that had faith are part of that greater hope. It's always been about a spiritual land and a spiritual people.
Amen.
Family, if it was about a physical people on this earth and are bringing about our same physical bodies, we'll take these same physical bodies to heaven. No. We get rid of these physical bodies. He give us new bodies that's going to match the new heaven that we receive. So it's not about an earthly Israel. It's about a heavenly Israel. And Jews and Gentiles are invited to that. So we love our Jewish brothers. We love our Gentile brothers. So family, Abraham looked forward to this. Abraham believed God. And we see this from the rest of our chapter, from verse 4b all the way to the end of verse 9. We see how Abraham, how he continued to believe God. He departed from Haran. We read that, I think, in verse 4. He even kept his wife, even when she was barren. Think about that. His wife couldn't have kids. There was a time for him to find somebody else. I mean, which he did with Hagar, right, with Sarah. But he kept his wife. He believed God. He didn't throw his wife away. He kept his wife. And later on, she did bear. He went into the land with the strong Canaanites all around him. Abraham moved to a hill country east of Bethel. In the hill country. How many crops you can grow in a hilly country? It's like it was a rough land that he went down to. But God still said he's going to bless him. He was east of Ai. Ai is near Jericho. Then Abraham went down to a desert area, down to the Negev. Went to the desert area. So Abraham did all these things. And Abraham, hey, God, come on now. I'm traveling. I came all from Babylon to Ur. Man, my wife can't have kids. This land, you can't grow nothing in this land. Hey, man, you got Canaanites here. I mean, by this time, family, for us in this room, this time to turn back around, is it? I think that's us daily. A lot of times, we don't see the blessing we have in Christ. That's why we turn back around. We turn to the things in this world because the blessing in our minds is not blessing the spiritual blessing that God has for us. We have a different mindset up. We say, if God's going to bless us, it's going to look like this. It's going to come at this time. It's going to come at this particular way. Family, we're not God. If God's going to bless us and care for us, it's going to come in a way that he sees best. But the covenant is coming. Abraham was steady, faithful in this. He believed God. Family, do we believe God? Do we believe all the promises we have in Christ? Do we believe these things? Abraham believed. Think about Galatians 3, starting in verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, it was counted to his righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. Those who are faith. Not those who are just praying to the wooden wall. Those who mean by faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture says this right here in verse 8 in Galatians 3. For seeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Family has always been those who are of faith. Sola fide. For those who have faith in Jesus, and from Gentile to the Jew, have faith, those who are the ones who get these blessings. And those ones are true people of God. A part of this true unilateral covenant in Genesis 12. The Lord promised Abraham a land without conditions. The conditions will come later when Israel, when they are told to keep the land, the obedience, the conditional stuff come later, the bilateral covenant come later. with circumcision, for them to stay in the land. But for them to get the land, for them to have a king and be a nation and be multiplied, they didn't have to do anything to get those things. But later on, we're going to hear about the covenant of circumcision. Then we're going to hear about in Deuteronomy 28, as Israel, you keep God, he's going to bless this. This is not a unilateral covenant. That's a bilateral covenant. But this right here, today's test, is unilateral. This is God giving us covenant, giving us this promise, without having to do anything to receive it. But later on, that's going to be a lot of earthly things for Israel. For them to stay in the land, they're going to have to obey God's law, all the commandments they have and things of that later on. That's called a bilateral covenant that's going to come later. But right now in our test today, as God is setting part of a unilateral covenant, God promised a guarantee that Christ is coming and Christ is going to bring his kingdom. So by Abram getting this promise, it secures that the seed of the woman will be victorious by Christ, saving the land and the people in the throne. That Christ is going to be victorious. That he's going to crush the head of the serpent. He's going to receive all that the Father has for him. And we get those things as well. A couple applications as we end here. How does it make sense for us? How does it make sense for us today? The first question I have here. Have you cherished the forever promise we receive in Christ? Have you cherished the forever promise we receive in Christ? Family, we don't deserve these promises, but we get them because Christ is married to his bride. By being married to Christ, we get all the blessings that are in Christ. We get all the things that Abraham gets, family, we get. The earth is fleeting away, but family, we are already citizens of a new kingdom. So don't buy into this lie that the riches on this earth is better. The riches on this earth will be one day burned up on this earth. But family, we have eternal riches in Christ. It tells us in Ephesians 1, we have the riches that are in Christ. We have it all there in Christ. The promises that the Father has given to the Son, family, we get those promises as well. Amen. Don't buy into this lie of the world. Family, we have those riches. We have those riches. If you don't taste those riches right now, I encourage you to dive more in his word. Study his word more and see all that he has given to his people that follow after him. For those of the Christians, for us already knowing that we get God forevermore, family, that should be enough for us. Number two here. Knowing that Christ gives us the covenant to secure our eternal redemption, we should be the most humble people that walk this earth. Family, it is no room for pride and arrogance when we see that we've been saved from. We are saved from ourselves. We are saved from ourselves, family. Our hearts, our physical hearts, want the things of this world. We love the idols of this world. But what did God did? He came down us. He saved us from the things of this world. And he brought us into himself. Apart from Christ, family, we're headed straight to hell. But God calls us to a new land. Just like he called Abraham. He did it out of his own joy. Let us live a life of gratitude and thankfulness. He called us from a wicked, perverted land into a new land. He did that, family. And there's more people on earth besides you, but he calls you. Some of your family members not called. Some of your family friends are not called. He called you. Are we cherishing that? Are we being grateful for that? We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it, but he gives it to us. And lastly, we know Abraham was a true believer because of his life. He obeyed God. He submitted to the Lord. One identifying mark of a believer is that they are submitted to the Lord in difficult times. It's not hard giving away $10,000. we messed around and won $400 million, right? Everyone had a match. There's nothing wrong with giving away, you know, $4,000. We won $4 million. It's not a problem giving away. So, I mean, you're not losing that much. I think that's the same way a lot of us believers. We obey God when we don't have to lose as much. When we can live a life, we don't have to lose the things that mean so much in this world to us. I want Jesus. I can follow. You can be faithful every single day of the week. But what about those areas, right? Men loving your wives. Wives submitting to your husbands. What about obeying the Lord in those moments? A mark of a true believer is their obedience over time. Obedience doesn't save you at all. But obedience is a proclamation of your true faith. That's why I say faith without works is dead. If your life doesn't show that you're a true believer, it's a possibility that you're not a believer. So my question as we end here, Abraham was able to leave this land to follow after Jesus. But family, are you ready to submit to Jesus in every area of your life? What did you need to depart from? What area are you still staying in that you haven't left and departed and went to Jesus in? Is that pornography? Is it pride, lust, anger? I don't know. What area that God has called you to a new land, but you're still in that land? If you're not ready to give up these things and follow Jesus, you're not ready to be his disciple. Abraham obedience. He left a land to go into a new land. And you notice when Abraham went into that land, the land was rocky. The people were there that was going to be against him. But Abraham didn't turn back. He continued believing. Family, will we continue to believe and not turn back? It's going to be rocky. It's going to be hard. But look what you already have in this unilateral covenant. We have all the blessings in Christ. It's going to be hard. We're going to learn next week, Lord's willing, about Abraham finna go down to Egypt. He's going to lie and say Sarah was his sister, being manipulative in the land. Family, temptation is going to be all around us. But will you be faithful to the end? Will you be faithful to the end? Rob was talking about Revelation 3 and Revelation 4. Revelation 2 has an end there. It says, those who conquer to the end. Those who conquer to the end. God knows all the cheesy stuff. I love you, Jesus. I believe in you. He knows all those things. He knows when we say those things. But one thing he do know, he know our hearts. If we truly believe in him, it'll match our lifestyle. So family, let that be us this morning. Let us be a faithful people to live for the Lord, knowing what we have received in him. We get a covenant in him that no one can take away from us. We have it all. We have it all. So don't buy into these things in this world. Let me pray for us and let us end here. Let's transition over to communion. And Zoe, I'm going to get you to help Jerry with the communion.